Welcome to the February 2016 installment of Industrial Heating Magazine's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and host Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Solar Manufacturing is the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. This month's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast is vacuum furnace brazing of stainless steels. Here's our host, Jim Nagy, to introduce the topic of today's podcast.
We continue our series on vacuum furnace brazing with this second podcast on the brazing of stainless steels. Joining Bill Jones again are Calvin Ammenhauser and Mike Papanetti, two very knowledgeable and experienced individuals in the field of vacuum furnace brazing. Cal is vice president of the Solar Atmospheres in eastern Pennsylvania, overseeing the operations of the heat treat facility in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. Mike is a regional sales manager for the western Pennsylvania heat treat facility. Today, our discussion centers on the advantages and concerns of brazing stainless steel components with nickel-based and copper-based brazing alloys. So let's listen in on the dialogue between Bill, Mike, and Cal as they break down and analyze this brazing topic for us.
We are now back together again. The subject with Mike Papanetti and with Calvin Ammenhauser. I would like to talk about the specifics of both brazing stainless steel components with nickel brazing alloys and also brazing components, whatever the materials may be, with copper brazing alloys. So, like to put the question first on brazing with copper, and what are some of the issues with fits and flow that you may have with brazing some of the materials that are not quite as demanding? So let's talk about that, Calvin, and I'll put the question to you. What kind of materials can you copper braze, and what sort of issues do you face?
One of the biggest issues with copper brazing is fit up. Copper, when it melts, has a low viscosity. So think of it as water when it melts. So you need a joint that is within a half a thou to a light press to get the best braze. Another issue with copper brazing is keeping the alloy where you placed it. In other words, copper likes to flash out during the brazing. A lot of times, well, every time, we need to use inert gas to decrease the evaporation of the copper. We want to put an inert gas in the furnace, sometimes as high as 5 torr, to keep the copper alloy from vaporizing off, not only onto the part that's being brazed, but also onto the hot zone and cold face of the hot zone.
Let me turn to Mike, and let me ask him some of his experiences with copper brazing and some of the other issues that he would like to bring up.
Well, I have tons of experience with copper brazing, whether it be exothermic, endothermic, or vacuum. But I tell you, for vacuum brazing using copper alloy, one of the best things about it is that copper is readily available and it's fairly steady in pricing. So we do see a lot of it in vacuum furnaces. Most people think because vacuum furnace is a higher end type of brazing process that you wouldn't use copper, but in fact it's lends itself wonderfully to vacuum furnace. As Cal mentioned, you do have to take some of those precautions to avoid evaporation, but it works well with low carbon steel, old complex. You'll see some older complex specs out there, and they make the switch to the vacuum furnace. And again, using copper, it just lends itself to it so well.
All right, thank you very much, Mike. Now, let's talk about brazing stainless steel parts, and we want to braze them with stainless steel alloys. So what kind of issues do we face with this, Cal, and what sort of alloys would you might use?
Well, I'll address the alloys first. You normally want to use a nickel base alloy. It'll have a mid to high percentage of chrome in it. The rest is made up of nickel. Nickel alloys are brittle when they're brazed, so you want to have at least a joint clearance of 2,000 or less. Nickel brazing is one of the easiest ways to braze stainless steel together in a vacuum furnace. It's also one of the nicest ways, appearance-wise, when a stainless steel part comes out of the furnace. If the joint clearances are correct and the brazing was done properly, it should look like the part was machined out of one piece rather than brazed. That's how nice the joint looks.
And to add to some of the things that Cal was mentioning about brazing with the nickel brazing using the B&I family, is typically it's a fully diffusing alloy. Unlike copper brazing, that won't diffuse into the base metal, but more than maybe a thousandth. With nickel brazing at extended times, you can diffuse fairly deep into the metal. That benefits a lot in joint strength and ductility. However, with nickel brazing, you do have some precautions that you need to take to ensure that you don't get base metal erosion, cracking, things of that nature from not fully diffusing the material or using a material with maybe too much boron or chrome. I always caution people that nickel brazing is good, but make sure that you talk to somebody with plenty of experience so they can maybe guide you through some of the metallurgical issues that you can run into. Also, one of the great things about nickel brazing is it's non-corrosive, as opposed to copper brazing or silver brazing, where you can have some corrosion issues over time. We see that a lot when you're brazing heat exchangers. A lot of times a customer may braze a heat exchanger and tell their clients use deionized water through the heat exchanger, but it gets over to maybe China or somewhere where they're just using tap water or well water that hasn't been treated properly, and you can see some erosion. But with the nickel alloys, that takes care of some of those issues.
Thank you, Mike. Cal, I'd like you to discuss a little bit, say a typical stainless steel part that we are brazing with alloy, and the heating rates, soak times, and then the cooling rates, and why we would even cool or quench. What's your opinion of this?
Well, normally with stainless steel brazing, unless it's a heat treatable steel where you need to harden it afterwards, you don't need a fast quench. Normally the typical stainless is 304, 316, 303. With these alloys, when you braze them as a byproduct of the brazing process, you are annealing them. So again, there's no reason to quench quickly. So when we braze our standard stainlesses, the 303s, 304s, and et cetera, with B&I materials that are out there, we typically will ramp anywhere from 15 to 20 degrees a minute up to anywhere around 1800 degrees Fahrenheit. We will hold there to make sure all the parts are uniform. We do that by having the parts TC'd, so we know exactly what the temperature of the parts are versus the temperature of the furnace. From that point on, we go up to the brazing temperature. Depending on the spec, you'll ramp a little faster or slower. Typically, we ramp a little slower just to keep the heat uniformity stable going into the braze temperature. After the braze temperature, which again can be anywhere from 1850 to 2200 degrees F, we will do a vacuum cool or a partial pressure cool to where we control the ramp rate down of the work. The main reason for this is at braze temperature, you got to remember your alloy is molten. If you go and hit it harshly with your gas and quench, you could actually blow molten braze metal onto your parts where you do not want it. So by controlling the ramp rate down to a lower preheat temperature and letting the alloy solidify and keep the parts that you're brazing, keep the distortion off of them by not harshly quenching them, we find it's best to go down to a range about 100 degrees or so below the solidification of the alloy and then quench from there. And again, the quench is just a typical -5 nitrogen gas quench.
Okay, Cal. However, I do want to mention that Cal's experience is basically based on the response of a vacuum furnace compared, say, let's say to a retort furnace, where the vacuum furnace cools quite quickly. So what Calvin is saying is we're going to braze the part and then we're going to cool it till it's solidified. And then when it's solidified, we will then backfill with nitrogen or in some cases with argon, and then we'll turn our blowers on and quench down through the critical range. Because it is necessary with some stainless steels, we do have to put them through the heat treating cycle so that we have the stress corrosion, somewhat as what Mike has answered earlier, which is required for materials that may be in corrosive environments. Well, even so, Mike, is there anything you'd like to add to this business of brazing of stainless steel components?
Yes, Bill, just a quick note from some of the processing parameters. With nickel brazing and stainless steel, one thing to note is that you necessarily don't need to use your diffusion pump during the process. If with just your roughing pump you're able to get to 1 × 10 or just 1 micron, that can be sufficient in most cases to nickel braze, do some standard nickel braze. So a little bit of cost savings.
Well, among experts, there's always differences of opinion, and I would like to counter a little bit what Mike has said. And it's really always, even though operating of the diffusion pump may cost some money, but if you're trying to braze things adequately, it's nice to have the furnace in the relative high vacuum range, let's say in the 1 × 10⁻⁴ range, which I think pretty much is the way you will do it, right, Calvin? And he's shaking his head in agreement.
Right.
And then we would take it up and braze the part. And we would do that sometimes when with certain of the alloys, we might braze the part with a partial pressure in order to prevent at the really higher temperature brazing. We don't want any nickel or chrome boiling out of the part, so we may actually use partial pressure at the higher end. But I think our experience, at least here at Salerton, is we like to go up in high vacuum at least to a certain point, and then we could switch over to partial pressure, or maybe we wouldn't. It depends on what we are really trying to braze. So one of the nice things about heat treating in whatever form it might be, whether it's in an atmosphere furnace or whether it be in a vacuum furnace, it's nice to have difference of opinions. And I really appreciate that, Mike and Cal, for what you've said here today, which is basically unrehearsed. Thank you very much.
Please join us again in the near future for the next podcast in our series on vacuum furnace brazing, when we will examine the joining of titanium and titanium alloys or other dissimilar materials using active brazing alloys.
The Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. The websites of Solar Atmospheres and Solar Manufacturing contain information for download about vacuum furnaces and vacuum heat treat processing, which will be very helpful to our listeners. There are several technical papers and articles related to vacuum brazing. We also encourage our listeners to search the resources tab of our websites for other technical resources available through the solar companies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to look for our next podcast in April 2016 for another informative discussion on vacuum furnace brazing.